SB Nation and Underdog Dynasty present the Underdog Podcast.
All right. We are in the room together for the first time ever. All of us. Myself, Joe Londrigan, Eric Henry, B. Kevin Fielder, as he's making people call him, apparently.
No one call me that.
Well, you know, there's no proof to say you're not. Emily Van Buskirk and Steve Van... I almost called you Steve Van.
Steve Van Helwig. Rick Van Winkle.
And Steve Elwick. And we're here in what is... we own this house now. It's the Underdog Dynasty House in Arlington, Texas. We all got together for Conference USA Media Days. And
not even in them.
This is why we don't all record in one place at one time. But yeah, it's great to have everybody in one place. And we've had a lot of fun the last couple of days. And we thought, let's just get together and just do a podcast about some random college football topics and what I think Eric and I have done. CFB potpourri. We got some topics in a hat, and we're just going to each draw one and kick it around for a couple minutes and then see where that gets us.
Joe, let's be fair. It's a red solo cup.
It's a red solo cup. Hat.
Yeah.
Potpourri? I don't – what?
Yeah, why did you just potpourri, Joe?
Because potpourri is a Jeopardy topic that basically means it can be about anything. That's where I got it.
I've never heard that.
I don't watch Jeopardy.
I thought you were talking about like literal potpourri because you're putting it in a cup, and so it's like potpourri in the cup.
That's what I assumed.
Sure. Well,
so I'm glad I asked.
I'll call the writers of Jeopardy and see what their thought was in making it a category. But that's where I got it from.
Okay. All right.
That was very advanced degree asking me, Joe.
I'm already,
you know, advanced degree is in sports management, so it's basically worthless. But anyway, all right. So who wants to go first? We got some topics in the hat about food, about football, about some other fun shenanigans. So who wants to go first?
I will kick it off.
All right.
Seeing as how we post this podcast normally and you did not even throw it to me at all. So that's fine. I will go.
Well, all right. Eric, do you want to tell people who you are?
I want to choose from the potpourri.
All right.
Potpourri. So you know, down. Eric has now chosen a slip of paper and is opening
it up. And that is why I brought Emily Van Buskirk on. My question is, who is an unappreciated G5 draft prospect this year? Wow, this is a very deep question. Okay. Spitballing off the top of my head. Unappreciated. Okay. How about...
Oh my God, the silence.
That's not a podcast.
This is not a great podcast.
Well, this is why we can edit things.
Read the question one more time.
Yeah. Who's an unappreciated G5?
Who's not getting enough love?
Yeah, okay.
A G5 school or a player?
Player.
All right, okay. You know what? I will,
as far as the draft classes.
I will give you one.
Okay.
Jordan Ferguson, Middle Tennessee.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Oh my God, he was incredible today.
Yeah.
By the way.
Love Jake
Ferguson. Like literally... And this is a weird thing to pay attention to in a media day, but when they're like respectful, I used to hate when like guys would call me ma'am, but I enjoy it now because it's very like sweet. I used to be like offended because it made me feel old, but he was just like, do you need a water when I sat down? He was so nice.
I overheard some of Jordan and Emily's dialogue as I was writing, and Jordan was absolutely very...
The one thing that stuck out about Jordan Ferguson through every single passing by is that he was not only respectful to media... But
to everybody.
Like everybody,
to staff, to the security, to anyone who walked by.
So I don't know if everyone, I know Emily wasn't in the room, but before Rick Stockstill came in, he just was like, hey, you know, what's up? How y'all doing? You know, like he and Jalen Lane were very outgoing. So that was nice to see. And I mean, we could probably talk about this on another podcast, but he started a nonprofit, which I had a chance to talk with him about.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Benefiting?
For benefiting people who are, you know, in need of, you know, goods, homeless,
oh, wow,
and stuff like that. So
less fortunate.
Yes,
That's amazing.
But anyhow, Jay Ferg on the field, this is the thing I notice about him. He is a big dude. Like he's as big as praise. I'm a hula.
Yeah.
So got the size.
He is big.
It's almost like he and praise I'm a hula are like this like weird bizarro version of each other. Whereas like. Praise looked like he was like ready to go 12 rounds or something up there.
Yes.
He looked intense, and that's not a bad thing. Jordan Ferguson was just like, hey, what's up, everybody? Like,
I had one interaction with Praise, and I was waiting for one of the press conferences to start. And so he was walking by with Gavin Hardison, and they were going to one of the other stations. And he had no AirPods in or anything, and he was vibing like there was a song on.
Yeah.
And I go, Praise, you're vibing over there, aren't you? And he goes, man, I'm loving it here.
the consensus was that the players really liked the venue and like the atmosphere.
He was very. And then he started talking about, and I go, because I'm a big fan of the Sun Bowl. That stadium the view is beautiful, and I think it is the perfect quintessential college stadium.
Yeah.
In the sense that it is loved by the community, it's loved to an extent nationally as well, mainly because of NCAA 14 and stuff. But he was talking about the stadium, and he goes, man, I never got to experience it as a fan. And then I walked up to the top row. I see why everyone loves it.
It's a gorgeous stadium. It really is.
Disagree.
You got Sun Bowl hot takes on?
Okay. Now, to be fair, last Sun Bowl I went to was Richard Sherman, you know, when he was on Stanford. So that was many years ago.
Okay.
Mid, like, 2000s. Or no, yeah. I guess, yeah.
Yeah, he was drafted in 2012 or 2013.
Right. So, and El Paso is different. And sure. I just remember, well, I went as a fan, so I wasn't media, but was that an old stadium? Or are you talking about a new one, Pat? Or
It's the same one, but they've done some minor remodels and renovations.
It was rough when we were there. That's all I'm saying. It was older. It was a little so, and the thing. View was like of a like a dirt hill.
Whoa, that is not a dirt hill. That is Mexico.
Well, yeah, we went on a hike into Mexico, and I was like, again, but you're thus proving.
What I'm saying. I'm helping,
you're helping, no, you're definitely helping
I'm
my
just,
argument.
I'm just busting balls.
No, you're helping my argument.
On that comment, I think Emily needs to pick next from the.
No, why?
Well, I think we should all finish answering the question.
Yeah,
first.
Yeah.
Wait, we all have to answer.
Yeah, I thought it was.
That was just one.
I mean, we can move on. That's fine.
Okay. I do just want to give praise to two more. TJ Young, I don't think gets enough respect. I am biased as an FAU beat writer, but the amount of success he had last year really should have been all conference nomination.
Okay.
And I also love, I've spoken him up all week. I'm going to keep speaking him up. Tulane center, Sincere McCormick. His nickname is the Terminator. I'm sorry. A great nickname.
Sincere Haynesworth.
Haynesworth. Oh, yeah.
First thing he almost told me, I was like, Sincere Haynesworth.
I was like,
McCormick has since graduated, so he is no longer, and I can appreciate
it. First off, at least you didn't pull a Matt Bartlett from the roofs and go with Malik Cunningham.
Malik Cunningham. Yeah, I heard about
Or you didn't pull a Joe Lonergan and just make up the something that Jay Clark was doing karate.
Yeah. All right, for context, what I heard was Jordan Ferguson was talking about individual position drills. And what I heard was, you know, sometimes we get together and like do karate. And I thought that was just like a funny name for like, you know, swim moves and those kind of like pass rushing maneuvers. But I was like, he said they do karate. That's kind of funny. And then I asked him about it. And turns out not at all what he said. I don't know what he said, but it was like a weird like nightmare mode. Just everybody in the room just turned and looked at me.
It was
like, what the hell did you just ask? And I was like, oh, is that? Never mind.
It wasn't a annoyed look on Rick Stockstill's face. It just was a blank look.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, he was like, I don't know. And he does that. If you ask him something he doesn't know,
it was like a blank look like,
you said what?
Yeah.
I will say this. I was able to watch the eating competition with Jordan and Jalen. I literally brought they were very invested in Joey Chestnut's challenge today with the Raising Cane's. So they were like, oh, when's it on? And so I had it on my computer and we sat and watched the whole thing together. And they did like a play-by-play of how he was doing. And then actually one of the La Tech players came over and joined and watched. So it was a great moment personally. So that was my favorite Jordan Ferguson moment. But great pick. Great pull.
I love Jordan
Ferguson.
That was
great. Yeah. Good job, Eric.
All right. Who's up next on the potpourri? I'm curious what questions are in there.
All right. Good. Emily's
avoiding.
Like,
you're gonna have to go eventually.
I'll go.
Right, go, Kevin.
I'll take one for the team.
Everybody's
guys
gotta go once.
All right, make it.
I don't want to take the first one off the top. That's so fine.
Are they mixed up?
I tried to, but it's a tiny cup. It's
my question is, why didn't you put it in the hat that's sitting on the table?
Hey, ever stop picking on my white brother.
Here we go.
Okay.
Food question.
Drum roll. Read it out loud.
CFP trip you're most looking forward to this year. This is awkward. I don't travel.
That's a great question.
I mean, you could take it. I feel like you should take it. That is.
You and Emily. If Emily should take this, it's Emily Van Barker.
Yeah, I feel like this is the Emily question.
That's funny you say that because I have my college football week by week travel plan here that I just
So I have, in fact, pulled it out for Emily.
Kevin doesn't travel. So.
I have, in fact, pulled it out for Emily.
Okay.
Fair
enough. Any travel Kevin does this year will be of this budget. So yeah,
I think everybody, what they want to do when they travel is like not only cover your team, but you have those like bucket list stadiums absolutely you want to hit, right?
Yeah.
So I have done a lot of those already. So for me this year, what we're trying to do is get to schools that we want to partner like with Joey on and need more coverage and stuff like that. One I'm looking forward to is Penn State. I've never been and I've heard it's incredible. Like obviously you have to go there. There's one road trip I'll say, this is, I'm excited. We're going to be driving. We do a lot of driving and there's one in Virginia, West Virginia. It's a Marshall game, West Virginia and Virginia Tech. And it's all the same weekend, like Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Right.
And so I think that trip, as far as just pure college football junkie, is the one I'm looking forward to. Anything okay you could hit four games in one, like that's
that is a good one.
That is a really
– it's going to be epic, I think. I don't know how to drive in the Virginia, like, terrain or how that is. People yeah, say it's a little – it's be careful.
Don't
but
drive at night. You need good tires. No, yeah.
We're going to have to drive through the night. But,
and if you're driving at night, don't do anything stupid.
Yeah, like drink yeah or –
try and go 65 and 40 because some idiot will inevitably yeah try and do that.
So we'll do it safely.
Yes. All right.
Kevin Fielder gets a redo of Potpourri since he couldn't.
Wait, is no one else going to
do
yeah
I'll say, oh, I'm going to brawl the wild. I'm going to make it happen this year. Montana State.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
That is from what our like guy, that Jared Miller, has told me about it. From what my family in the area has told me about it. It seems like it is a crazy redneck party that I need to see for myself. So
I've got like four trips to Texas this year. So that's, yeah,
we're excited for the Charlotte trip.
We are.
We're going to Charlotte to see Hunter.
To see, well, yeah.
Well, to see Charlotte.
To go see FIU and then Hunter will be there. Yes. And, yeah, that'll be.
Maybe that's the Joey Chestnut one. Because Charlotte now, ever since that question that we just
you
asked.
You know what?
SID came over and was like, all right, when are we making this happen?
Oh, did Tom
the quarterback over? Came over. Tom, yeah, and they're all like, let's do this. So I was like, oh, we'll come out to a game. So maybe that's the one that we do it.
Maybe that's the one.
That would be epic.
Will Healy would love to see Chris Reynolds, or
yeah,
more, I think, Marquise Watts at this point. Try to eat more Popeye's biscuits than Joey Chestnut.
I will break my, like, eating habits if you get Joey Chestnut out there. I would, like, just jump in and eat whatever y'all eat. whatever y'all eat.
I think that you don't want to do that.
I'm not saying I'm trying to keep up with him. I'm just saying I will, like, because I'm a pretty strict eater. I don't eat, like...
Yeah. Like crazy. I thought the craziest comment was Will Healy's wife being a card girl
for
one of the eating competitions for Joey. What?
What?
Yeah, never did you see that?
No, I didn't.
So he, in the middle of it, I'm asking the players. I don't normally ask the coaches because they don't generally give answers. And if they do, it's like they're usually weird. So I don't ask him. But he seemed so engaged with the question. I was like, all right, like what would you eat? And he goes, he said something about the chicken nuggets, but then he goes, fun fact about Joey, my wife was a card girl, meaning the person that holds up the counter.
Yeah.
In one of Joey's competitions for Joey.
Crystal something.
Yeah. I literally, my jaw dropped because he got me with that. Like, I'm usually the one throwing things at you. That was a twist I did not foresee coming.
Right.
And then he made a comment like, oh yeah, she probably couldn't get with Joey, so she took me. And I about died. I'm going to send it to Joey right now and be like.
Again. Will Healy, if he did nothing else today, won the room in every single interview that he probably did.
He's incredible. But everybody's heard that. I feel like
everyone knows he wins the room.
But it is pretty cool to see it in person because the charisma is, it doesn't always come across in a video or whatever, but in person, it is magnetic. Like it's
infectious.
Wow. But I will say, I saw him walking around and I thought he was an SID. I almost went up to him and was like, hey, when's the head coach going to be here? Because he looks like an SID. Yeah, I almost did that. I was like, can you imagine? That would be a
he looks
call.
12, so.
He does look and he knows it. He owns it.
Yeah, he joked about it.
That was a fun way to end the day.
Yeah. I know. Great ending. So, all right, next.
Yeah, now let's actually try and pull one out.
Kevin's pick, yeah.
Unless it's another trip one, which, again, FAU beat writer who doesn't travel. What city needs a bowl game that doesn't have one?
Ooh,
that's a good one.
That is a good one.
That's a really good one.
I'm proud of you. You saw these before, Dan.
First one was tough.
I did.
Ooh, that is a first tough one to answer because I feel like all the major cities are kind of.
Wait, hold on. Steve, do you have a place you want to go? You didn't.
That you want to travel most to? Looking
do you want to talk for the first time this podcast?
Well, no, Steve's getting some of his. He's going to SC.
I have three trips planned this season.
Oh, okay.
Week one, I have a doubleheader.
Okay.
I don't know how I'm going to manage this, but Bowling Green and UCLA play at 11:30 Pacific time.
Jesus.
And Rice and USC play at 3 Pacific time.
In LA?
Yes.
You can do it.
It's 25-minute drive between them.
It's LA traffic.
You'll be late.
Yes.
I'd have to hope for a blowout, I think, in the first game, and then make the other one on time.
In the Pac-12 will not happen.
UCLA ends up being the greatest overtime game ever.
Which game do you care more about?
Whatever one's a better game.
Well, I know, but like going in, I would definitely have one that you care more about that you could commit to I thought you said one was at night. They're both during the day.
11:30 and 3 Pacific.
That's insane.
That's tough.
For other road trips, week two, I'm going to Penn State, Ohio. I've been to Happy Valley a million times before. I grew up going to Penn State games. My parents are Penn State alums.
Nice.
So. And then my other trip, I'm going to Eric's territory and Kevin's territory. I'm going to mid-October, UCF and Temple play on a Thursday night.
Oh, you were talking about that, yeah.
And FAU and Rice play on a Saturday. So,
nice.
Drinks on me, Steve.
In the great state of Florida.
Yeah.
That's fine. Okay. Well, you have a pretty good – it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm glad I asked you because –
yeah.
You got to chime in if you have that good of a trip plan. Come on, man. All right.
What city needs a bowl game? So I actually did look up – what cities have a bowl game, because most of the major cities already kind of have one.
Yeah.
Or one in general enough territory where it's like, well, we don't need a new one.
Sure.
Chicago, I think, would be perfect. I get why they really can't do it because of the smell.
Yeah.
But if in a perfect world you could put one in Chicago, that would be a great city for a bowl game. That would provide fun opportunities for the student athletes.
Yes.
A good venue for the game.
So I was going to ask, are you hosting this at Wrigley or hosting this at Soldier Field?
Soldier Field.
Soldier,
football games at baseball stadium should be outlawed.
Whoa.
Not to cut you off, but I loved Northwestern when they played at Wrigley. I was a student, no graduate at the time, and they played at Wrigley, and that was awesome. It's tiny, but.
Other idea could be to hold it in Evanston and consider that Chicago.
Honestly, Evanston, I went there one time. It was beautiful.
Like, no,
picturesque, gorgeous.
Oh, listen, I love
storybook.
I love the purple line right into Ryan Field. Yeah. I'm just cringing the fact you said you don't like Wrigley.
Oh, no.
Someone whose favorite stadium is the
OCO
Coliseum.
Yeah,
O.CO. It's actually just the Coliseum. Okay. Screw you, USC's.
But see, the inevitable problem with a question like this is when you look at, like, New York City has a bowl game.
Yes.
They have one close enough by where it's like, oh, we don't need
one.
Miami has one.
Yeah.
Orlando has one. San Francisco has one. LA has one.
Well, Santa Clara has one.
Phoenix has Tucson.
AT&T.
There's
one
at
every Texas state.
See, I'm a fan of football as well.
That's true.
Same.
So.
I'll give you one. Seattle.
Seattle
had one for 2 years. It just didn't.
You have two great venues there. It's like that's
the Mariners Stadium. I know baseball stadium, but the Mariners Stadium is very nice and it's covered.
Yeah.
So like, if there's a serious concern with the weather, then that solves that. But you also have a gorgeous Husky Stadium. You have Lumen Field. Like, there's more than enough venues where you could make it happen, both covered and not.
The sicko in me wants them to leave it uncovered and have a giant rain game for the bowl game. But
yes, that would be cool too. I will say they tried to make this old Seattle bowl game happen before the Seahawks were worth a damn.
Mm-hmm.
And since they won the Super Bowl, a lot of people in that town have actually started to care more about football. So, like, you always had the people who were, you know, fans of, like, the UW Husky teams from the 90s.
Right.
And that sort of thing. But since they've been good, Mike Leach had some good Wazoo teams, all that stuff. Like, football has grown up a lot in Seattle, and I think it deserves another chance at Boyd, personally.
I'm going to go Salt Lake City.
Okay.
You don't have it. Okay. Yeah.
Every time I go to a Utah game, one of the best experiences, beautiful stadium, gorgeous. It's like on par with what the Rose Bowl looks like with the view. And they have very passionate fans. Now, would a lot of people want to travel there? I don't know.
Sure.
Really fun scene, contrary to what people think. There are fun bars. There is good music. So shut up.
I think if you wanted to make one of those bowl games work, either Seattle or Salt Lake, you would have to guarantee that either a Pac-12 team
Western team.
Yeah.
Because That's fair. Put like MAC versus Mountain West, most casual fans are not going.
Yes.
But if you put a Pac-12 team, you put a Utah and Oregon and Oregon, well, not Oregon State, they don't win enough. But Stanford,
right.
Put one of those teams there.
Stanford is what you came up with. They won four games last year.
Okay,
that's what you came up with.
Look, I'm still a David Shaw believer. Okay,
don't listen.
Don't get him started. Don't get him started.
We already
regardless. Stanford, big fan base. They traveled. Like all these teams travel. They would travel to a bowl game.
No, they won't. They do not travel.
Can I give a hot take?
Yes.
This is the Florida to me. Daytona Beach.
That would be fun.
And so, is the thought like track? Daytona.
You can't do it at Bragg Memorial. I forget what Bethune-Cookman Stadium is right now. But no, you got to do it at the Speedway. Yes.
Okay.
It's like No, that's the one in Tallahassee, isn't it?
Bragg Memorial is Tallahassee.
There's too many of them. There's too many.
Anyhow, yes. Definitely.
Is there one in Birmingham?
Daytona Memorial Stadium.
Yes, the Birmingham.
Oh, the Birmingham Bowl. Okay. Yeah. Because I've become
a Birmingham would be a good one.
Yeah, that was a good game. Last year,
we did all the USFL games this year. It was so fun, and I see why people like going there. And I'm like, yeah.
My rationale for Daytona is I've found, at least in my experience, all of those like beachside destinations to do well with the college kids. Yeah, and,
that is a really good one.
They always hope for those. You know, I remember we were with Coastal when the bowl that night. They were trying to figure it out. And they're like, they want to put us in this one, the Gasparilla, I think, because it's closed or whatever, but they were like, we love that, but they were hoping to go somewhere else. But everybody hopes for that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, because they want to be in that. That's funny.
Yeah.
Also, good question.
Just generally, I'll just end it on this. Just generally, I'm surprised there's not one in Canada yet.
There was. The International Bowl. That's where South Florida won their bowl game.
Why did they stop that?
No, I didn't hear what you said.
I didn't even hear of that.
I don't know why they stopped it.
How long was it there?
So like this 2010? Was, yeah, they won that bowl game. I was like freshman in college. Yeah,
I think
the
two reasons why it probably doesn't exist is it could potentially be something with not enough players having passports to make the trip.
I do remember that being
across the border. So, especially in times like this,
they had to get an exception
where it takes massive hoops to jump through. It would be a problem, and also football, college football doesn't have that much success in Canada. So trying to get, because again, you can get fans from these certain schools. Can you also get fans from the city to want to go to watch a game with two college football teams from the U.S.? I mean,
it was well attended. UConn and Buffalo brought over 40,000 to the International Bowl in 2009. The Big East won all four appearances over the MAC.
Steve, what was the attendance on the one USF went? It couldn't have been
22,000.
That's what I'm saying. You're not getting people who go from.
How many years was this functioning?
07 to 2010.
So 3 years.
Yeah.
Four.
This was in Toronto.
Okay. Yeah. I guess we're making it think it was like forever. So it's only a 4 year run. Okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, if it's the one you were talking about with Buffalo, too, like Buffalo's right.
No, those are.
Yeah.
That's why.
See, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Good question.
All right. The potpourri.
All right. Steve, do you want to go or do you want me to go?
Sure.
Go for it.
You can't reach it. You can't reach it.
Got long arms. You can't reach it?
He's got long legs.
He's got pretty long arms, too.
Use your feet. He looks perplexed.
He does.
If football was an Olympic sport, what country other than the USA or Canada would medal?
Oh.
I would say Samoa.
That's a good one. Samoa's got some big boys.
Yes.
My problem with Samoa is how do you find the wide receivers and the running backs?
The skill positions. You don't need
them. You're playing a lot of Emily Van Buskirk football.
Here's why I like that answer. If you're ever bored, there's a documentary on Netflix called Pacific Warriors, and it is about how all of the major rugby nations, England, Australia, New Zealand, et cetera, basically scout all their good talent from the last 20 years from Samoa, Fiji, and Tonga. And there's just crazy natural athletes. And there are some little fast guys too. I mean, if you look at like their sevens players for rugby, they're quick little athletic guys. And also like not every Samoan is like, not every Polynesian guy is like a big, you know, like lineman type guy. Like, you know, I know I'm bringing a Louisville example, but look at like Peyton Siva won a national championship. Technically, won a national championship in basketball.
You all know what happened with that.
Yeah, yes, Pistons legend Peyton Siva. But
was it nine seconds?
What?
How many seconds was it?
What?
What?
His national title was vacated because of Rick Pitino, correct?
Yes.
How many seconds was it? 9?
What are you talking about?
How many
Thank
seconds?
You. I know Steve helped. Someone got that reference. Thank you. If, hey, listen, for the audience, Google it. Either get it or you don't. 7 okay. seconds. Thank you.
Fair.
No further explanation needed. Steve got it. That's all I need.
Here's an interesting one, and yeah. it's kind of piggybacking off of like different sports and the way they do eligibility rules. How would a country like Mexico do if they could take players born in Texas who might have nationality?
That's an interesting thought. I'm sure there's a few.
Because obviously Mexico doesn't develop enough players by itself.
Yeah.
But if you could find the eligibility, I don't know what the eligibility requirement is for the Olympics as opposed to like the FIFA World Cup or whatever.
Right.
How does that work? Because they could likely find players from Texas universities and in the NFL who may have a grandmother or a mother, father, grandfather, someone who has citizenship to Mexico, mm-hmm. or then they're able to use that nationality to their advantage.
It's got real... Yeah. Yep.
I mean, that was just my first thought.
I could see
that was your first thought.
Mexico is a good example with like the Texas and the Southern California thought as well. I was going to say there's a lot of Nordic countries who I think could qualify in. No.
What?
Which Nordic country would qualify?
I mean, here's the thing. They need a couple
Let's
of years.
See.
The sport is growing. Like Alabama just got a 5-star O-lineman from Denmark.
Finland.
He's from Finland?
I'm very passionate about it because he's from Finland.
Okay. So yeah, I think
–
Iceland, they're
guy.
Like the badass hockey players. They'll just throw like – they're the bad guys in Mighty Ducks.
But here's the
thing. Just throw them in there and they'll –
But speaking as a Nordic.
I'm also Nordic, so
I'm
speaking as a fellow Nordic.
Speaking as a Finnish citizen who understands sports context there.
Okay.
It's hockey?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's hockey.
Hockey and football
have
a lot of similarities in
sure.
the physicality
so,
of the game.
If they're trying to make college football work in Finland.
Yeah.
It has expectedly not worked.
Okay.
So you could potentially get really good offensive linemen and really good defensive linemen from these countries. Do you get the running backs, the wide receivers, the skill positions to help fill it up? Because you can't win just having 18 good offensive linemen.
I mean, no, I know you need like a full team, obviously, but no, that's a good thought for sure. Germany's growing as well.
Germany, I think, would have a chance.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So. Because obviously you've had guys drafted from Germany.
Yeah.
I think Moritz Boehringer, whatever the guy's
name. For the Vikings.
Vikings,
yeah.
Tight ends. So that's actually a good one, I think, would be. Okay. Have the possibility of meddling outside of the U.S. and Canada.
I could see it. I can see it. I mean, it'd be, you know, it'd be a 2-horse race between the U.S. and Canada.
It would really be a 1-horse race.
It'd be,
the U.S.
Right.
And
it would be the
USA,
and then the gold medal game would be like USA 56, Canada 17.
I'm going to say Ireland.
What is it? That's football?
Yeah.
I think it would be interesting to see if like rugby players
I don't have a reason
would translate
there.
Over. Because if rugby players translate over, then like New Zealand.
Yeah, New Zealand.
There's a, I mean, there's, we know there's been a few rugby players that have like tried to make a go in the NFL.
Yeah.
It's definitely a good thought.
There's a, this is, Cal does that a lot in Berkeley.
Yeah.
They have a lot of guys that do both. Not a lot, but they've had.
The one I always think of is the Jarrett Hurd or whatever, the 49ers guy.
Yeah.
Didn't work, but he tried.
He gave it a shot.
All right, Joe, are you on the upper next?
I think so.
Can we just call it the cup? Like, what?
I'm kind of enjoying the poker.
I don't like it.
Let me be elegant.
Fancy.
No.
All right. What college football documentary are you waiting for? Like, what hasn't been made yet that you want to see?
The Manti Te'o one.
The one that's coming out
looks so good. But except they make him look sympathetic in it, which I'm very upset about. Because while this was going on, you know, me being a big Stanford person, this was frustrating. And I was at the Heisman when he was carrying around this secret that they all knew was bullshit. And they lied about it to the media, to everybody. And they knew it wasn't real. And in this documentary, it goes into why he, you know, why he got duped and all this stuff. Like, boy, you were on a college campus and you're a star player on the team and you're dating a girl that you never met from the internet. I tried to tell my dad that story and he goes, well, no, they can't. That's not possible. Like, they can't be dating. And I was like, no, they are. He's like, no, they've never met.
They're not dating.
They're not dating. And I was like, no, but they met through the internet. And he's like, no, that's not.
They're not dating. They're just not dating.
I'm just like, that's wild. I'm glad they're making it. Yeah, I'm excited for it.
I'm trying to think of what I think my intent with this was like think of one that hasn't been made.
Oh, okay.
Like storylines that would be really good to have.
So many now.
Yeah.
Well, as you know me, I'm thinking one of my answers is going
to be. I actually don't know.
Yeah. You always spring these questions on.
He's always like, you know what me am so thinking? Well.
What? How many fingers am I holding up? I'm like,
oh, God, it's UCF, isn't it?
Okay, Kevin got one, but that wasn't even the one I thought Joe would get. Okay, how about this? There were a lot of things about the 2021 FIU football season.
Sure.
That, as Kevin said, like, I don't know how big the audience would be, but if you just were marketing a documentary for Netflix and you just threw out the things that happened between 2020 and 2021,
they would listen.
You would at least be like, huh, that's interesting. Like, if you just made it no name team, they'd listen.
I can see that.
I will get one.
Okay.
Going somewhat based off college football, this guy's also had some time in the NFL. 70-something yard field goal before halftime. The tarmac incident.
Oh.
I feel like
just
a Lane Kiffin documentary.
I don't want to give him any more attention like that. That just would be awful.
This
but
one
I
is also this one also
it,
is inevitably coming when a certain someone retires. Alabama's going to get a Rise of Alabama documentary when Nick Saban retires.
Yeah, it's going to be a few years down the road.
And 95% of it will be Alabama players mentioning that he makes these nuts jokes. And it's really corny.
I can see it.
Also, SMU, but post-death penalty.
Pony XS2.
Yeah.
Too fast, too furious. Like,
listen, as Kevin said, I'm all for
a
team that went 0-12 and then won a national championship 2 years later.
UCF, yeah.
I mean, you know.
How much time would we spend on the tie debacle with Scott Frost?
See, I wasn't a big – I thought that was overrated, but you probably have to spend some time on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see a early 2000s Boise State documentary.
That would be an interesting one.
If we're going true Disney, how about the Mackenzie Milton story? Like that,
I was gonna say.
I thought you were gonna say maybe that, but I forgot Dan's not here. So.
Yeah, well, correct.
If Dan were here.
Daniel Morrison. Are we allowed to mention his name? Is that non-compete?
No.
Yeah, Dan, I said it.
Dan's been making that documentary.
What if I told you?
He's playing Mackenzie Milton. He's like playing everyone.
Right.
I have made the mistake of insulting Mackenzie Milton on our last podcast, and good Lord, I will never do that again. And I'm not scared of many things, but that was truly frightening. Like,
I think you could also just do the rise and fall of the rise to fall of Miami or Texas.
Yeah.
And just end it there.
What about Steve Sarkisian inside, you know, his journey through COVID? Like, I think there's a lot of stuff people still don't know and how bad it really was and how he somehow came out of it and is now head coach at Texas.
If he was willing to talk, that would be a really good
idea. I think you have people around him, too, that are willing to talk.
Yeah.
Like, there are people that – I was in his office one time interviewing him with one other person, and it was, like, the most bizarre – I've never talked about it, but it was weird. Like, there's things that I think most people like that have been in his presence like that could say.
Yeah.
But to me, it's crazy that you go from drinking during games on the sideline, and then you're the OC at Alabama, and then now you're the head coach of Texas.
If Texas ends up pulling it together and like putting
there will be a documentary,
like a decent run,
or if they fail miserably, it'll be made because people love tragedy just as much as they love.
You're not wrong, but I mean, you're not wrong, but it would definitely be easier to pitch. If it had this arc of,
you'd have to do it around him.
The whole hero's journey thing.
Yeah.
Also, an interesting one would be if what happened at LSU to end was true, Ed Orgeron going from cocaine addiction to, is that like Nicholls State or whatever, to head coach at LSU, to winning the national championship, to if what happened to end it was true, whatever happened
like
to end.
Like bringing dates to practice.
Yeah. the validity of it, I question.
Again,
single.
If it was true. Agreed. I mean,
whatever.
I mean,
what?
Sure. Yeah.
I've got a non cup question I was going to throw out here.
Go for it.
Do it.
I'm going to start with everybody. I'll start with Emily. Go around. Emily, in your career of covering games and whatnot, what is your most embarrassing moment?
Embarrassing?
Oh, good.
Or I can take it off. I can take it off.
Okay.
For me, easily, 2019 FIU Miami. I decided to, you know, go extra with the suit.
Oh my God, I know this story.
So I'm like, all right, yeah, I'm gonna throw on the burgundy pants and skinny joints from Express.
Okay.
You know, as Joe could probably describe, like, I don't need to wear the Steve Helwig size suit. I squatted down to get a picture, and all I heard was rip right down the back of my pants. And
yeah,
due to the configuration of where they played that game at the Marlins Stadium,
yeah,
the cheerleaders' locker room was to the right as you had to walk through to get back up to the press elevator.
Yeah.
And it was like middle school. I was like, yo, cover me. And I had someone stand directly behind me. But it felt like every 21-year-old female eye directly on like the backside of my pants as I'm walking through. It was horrible.
Can you blame them?
Yeah, Josie.
I mean, I feel like that's a bummer because you shouldn't be punished. I don't feel like enough writers these days dress up the way they're supposed to. Like, you go back to when I first started 10 years ago in this industry and men wore suits to games. Yes. That's what you did as a writer in the press box. Like, that's traditionally what it was. And we've gotten way away from it with, like, young guys and, like, flip-flops and, you know, board shorts and whatever.
I draw the line.
I am being targeted. I am being targeted for wearing a
right now. It's not acceptable. So I feel very terrible for you that you did the right thing and I got punished for it. That's...
Look, Eric, I wore the Hawaiian shirt today, and Tyrese Chambers approved.
Fine for like a media day like this or whatever, but game day is game day, and you should come
with it. I wear a polo to every game.
There you go.
Except when it gets extremely cold in the press box, I'm going to throw a jacket over. I'm not going to sit there.
Kevin Fields, but you wore flip flops.
I've never worn flip flops. Okay, always.
I have seen men
always
covering Power Five games wear flip flops.
That's I draw the line.
Well, the line should be a lot further, but that's like
I'm wearing Adidas golf pants.
Golf pants.
Like this is like where I'm like I'm fine. This is as fancy as I can.
It's okay.
There is a writer. I'm not gonna mention this person's name. Kevin knows who it is because he's covered enough games that I'm gonna talk about. Who shows up in the classic South Florida like I don't care attire?
Yep.
It's the Adidas sweatsuit. a hat of a Latin American country and like some old sneakers and he did, okay, and Kevin knows exactly what I'm talking about.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Florida might be the exception to
this. No, it is not.
If I have to give a pass to a state as far as like how you dress in the game,
it is more challenging in Florida.
It's hot. Like it's hot.
I will say this, bare minimum in Florida should be
you should not have
professional looking shorts.
No.
I think I'm fine with shorts. If you're in like the FIU press box,
I understand.
I'll say this. If you're outside, because they do have outside seating, but let's not veer too far from the question. So, what's your most embarrassing moment?
When I asked Jordan Ferguson about it. Oh, man. I'm trying to think of like a specific one because there was definitely. I don't remember the exact question, but. When I was covering Louisville basketball, I asked Rick Pitino a question, and someone had asked him the exact same question like 30 seconds earlier, and he just like stared at me for a second. He's just like, I literally just
answered that. Oh my God, he said that?
Yeah, he stared at me for a second, and then he just like cracked his body. He's like, I literally just answered that question.
Did
like,
he repeat it?
Yeah. No. And I was like, oh, okay.
We'll just get the audio.
Like, no, it's okay.
And you weren't like, can you repeat it?
No, because he was just like, I just answered that. Okay. So.
Don't love that for you.
No, I mean, I was like 20, but
yeah.
Kevin, have you had a moment yet?
I mean, Lane Kiffin does have a way of humbling you during press conferences and making you seem like an idiot sometimes. So this was maybe my first year early in the season. I had really not had the press conference experience. And of course, you got to learn how to fly with Lane Kiffin. So I asked Lane Kiffin, they're playing Ohio State. I go, Lane, you're playing a defensive end who could wreck your game plan. And he goes, he interrupts me and goes, I'm really glad you think that Chase Young could wreck our game plan. I sat there in my head and I went, that was the wrong choice of words for a question like that.
Yeah. I don't really get embarrassed that easily, but I guess if you're talking coach speak, like a coach's encounter, especially in front of other people,
yeah.
I'm very cautious.
Yeah.
Especially as a female, like to not ever be in that position. And I've always been like, I don't ever think I am not going to mess up. So I'm very cautious, but I did ask I was at the college football playoff press conference and I asked all the coaches on stage. So it was like, I think Saban was the only one that wasn't there. So it was Ed Orgeron, I think it was your Notre Dame maybe. So I can't remember all of them, but I know it was Ed Orgeron. So the other three or two, however many were there, answer. I said, how would you sum up your team this year in one word? Like, what would you use one word to describe your team? And I wanted all of them to say and why. And literally Ed Orgeron just goes, grit. Like, he just says it and then doesn't explain it. And I was like, oh, I tried to be like, oh, you know, why? And he's just like, I don't have an explanation. And so in front of a lot of like national writers, that was kind of, I mean, everybody laughed, like it was funny, but I was sitting there kind of like, shit.
Sure.
It wasn't that bad though.
I will give the worst one. Oh, Steve. Yeah.
Bro, I do have one. Oh, but it's not college football.
Yeah.
When I was in college, I got the opportunity to cover a San Antonio Spurs game. I am a diehard Spurs fan. That's my number one sports team. Always will be. Go Spurs, go, even in this rough era. And Greg Popovich is one of my heroes from the time I was young. And obviously I knew going into covering a Spurs game that you have to be on your toes for Greg Popovich with the media. So I'm spending about an hour drive from Austin to San Antonio preparing a question for Popovich, and I wanted it to be a good question. Two nights before the game I covered, the Spurs beat the Suns, and this was back when the Suns were the worst team in the league, and they beat them on a buzzer beater by Rudy Gay. And after that game, Popovich came out to the media, and he didn't take any questions. He spoke for 30 seconds about how the team just disrespected the game, disrespected their opponent, and it was embarrassing after a win this was. So I was planning to lead off the next press conference, which they do a pregame press conference in the NBA, with talking about that quote and how well he thinks his players received it. So I'm preparing this question multiple times in my head the entire drive going up. I'm so nervous, more nervous than I've ever been and ever will be to ever speak to any coach or player. And I finally get there, the media availability starts. It's all just dead silence in the room, and my voice kind of quivers. I say, pop, and then I got out my question. I said, how do you think your players receive the message of humility that you presented in your post-game speech last game? Mm-hmm. In my head, I'm thinking, okay, it was clear. Everything's good. I just get a death glare. And about 10 seconds pass, and another reporter starts asking a question. And the other reporter finishes his question, and Pop's still looking at me, and then he decides to answer me, and he said, it wasn't about humility. And the other reporter still is trying to talk, and then Pop's still staring at me, and he says, it was about respect for the game. They're kind of different. And then that's just it. My heart dropped. I feel like I just screwed up big time. Yeah. This is my favorite coach of all time who's coached the team my entire life.
And he hates you.
Yeah. And I kind of felt personal in that moment. I'm like, oh.
How dare you not know what they're
doing? I prepared so hard for this, and that was what I got. But it felt like that's – I needed a pop.
Sure.
I needed a Greg Popovich moment, and the only time I've ever interviewed him. So I got that. But it was definitely your heart drops at the time. You're in the room.
Yeah.
You feel kind of embarrassed. But it was great looking back on it to have the opportunity to do that.
I will give this one to lighten the mood. This did not happen to me. Uh-huh. So in grad school, my Brisbane broadcast, we had the opportunity to cover some high school games in Chicagoland, but also in Springfield, Illinois, which is the capital of Illinois. Mm-hmm. And long story short, because I'm going to get right to the punchline, the star player for the team in Springfield, his name is a women's basketball team, women's high school, Priscilla Tussey, T-U-S-S-Y.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the poor kid who was nervous as all hell, you know, we're doing this for local Springfield media. It's not like, you know, anyone's really watching. Mm-hmm. Priscilla got hurt. And going into halftime, he meant to ask, how is Tussie?
I'm sure you can imagine. No.
The other word that was
came out of his mouth.
Awful. Awful.
And he, I don't think he ever recovered.
No.
Yeah.
I sort of want to piggyback off of high school, because high school will always find a way to humble you, whether you want it to or not. And I was covering like my first high school game. Mm-hmm. I never had experience, let alone covering many games, let alone covering high school. And so I got asked to do predictions. And so I write that. Basically, I wrote along the lines of, like, didn't write it specifically like this, but like paraphrasing goes, this team doesn't stand much of a chance in the game. Lo and behold, they win. First of all, not going to be great. Second of all, didn't know if the coach read it or not, because I published it probably about 2 hours before the game. So sometimes they don't, you know, they don't read that stuff 2 hours before the game. I hadn't even got a chance to start the interview. Don't even have my phone out. It goes, didn't you predict us to lose? And I go,
yeah.
And he goes, I'm just messing with you. I sat there and I went, oh God, this is going to be so awkward. And then he goes, I'll just battle with you. My heart was doing gymnastics during the 5 seconds between. I was like, oh God, I just embarrassed myself to the coach that I now have to interview.
All right, Lonigan, we're at 48 minutes. We want to do one more question, or we want to just...
No, I think we're good. So that's CFB potpourri. What'd y'all think?
That's fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, Joseph.
Good.
That was fun.
I like it.
Samantha liked our picture, by the way. That made me happy.
I saw. Thanks, babe. You don't listen, but thanks.
All right, so where are we getting barbecue between now and close the show, sorry.
Well, we're going to go eat barbecue, probably drink some much-earned beers, but you can follow us all on Twitter. Emily is at MLM, Eric is at Eric C. Henry, Kevin is at The Kevin Fielder.
I'm at Eric C. Henry.
Don't
forget the
you earned the underscore. Eric is at Eric C. Henry underscore. Kevin is The Kevin Fielder. Steve is S. Helwick.
I wish I was Shelwick, but it's S underscore Helwick.
S underscore Helwick. We all have a pretentious underscore. It's fine. And
not me.
Shut
up. I'm the other pretentious thing.
You're pretentious enough.
Wow.
Hey, stop picking on Kevin, okay?
I'm leaving.
I'm at JOEHIO underscore. Happy football watching, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.